This podcast is brought to you by the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, ACAM for short. You can find more podcasts and other resources on our website, www.acamh.org, and follow us on social media by searching ACAMH.
Hello, welcome to the In Conversation podcast series for the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, or ACAM for short. I'm Jo Carlo, a freelance journalist with a specialism in psychology. Today I'm interviewing Dr. Joey Frederick, a clinical psychology postdoctoral fellow at Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center, Ohio, USA. Is sluggish cognitive tempo associated with circadian preference, sleep and daytime sleepiness in adolescents? We'll tackle this question in today's podcast. Joey is the first author of a paper on this topic published in the Journal of Child Psychology and Psychiatry. The JCPP is one of the three journals produced by the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health. ACAM also produces JCPP Advances and The CAM. If you're a fan of our In Conversation series, please subscribe on your preferred streaming platform. Let us know how we did with the rating or review, and do share with friends and colleagues. Joey, thank you for joining me. Welcome. Can you start with a brief introduction on who you are and what you do?
First, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to talk about my research in sluggish cognitive tempo. And so I'm a postdoctoral research fellow in the Center for ADHD at Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center in Cincinnati, Ohio. I earned my PhD in clinical psychology from Miami University in Oxford, Ohio. And currently my day-to-day as a postdoctoral fellow includes assisting with grant-funded research studies that are focused on ADHD and sluggish cognitive tempo, administering diagnostic interviews for families and children, and then also leading and collaborating on papers, submitting manuscripts, and then mentoring some of our trainees and research coordinators on independent projects and learning some of our interviews.
Brilliant. Thank you. Joey, your research that we're focusing on today focuses on sluggish cognitive tempo, SCT. What is sluggish cognitive tempo?
An excellent question. I'm always excited to talk about sluggish cognitive tempo. SCT is a set of behaviors that are characterized by excessive mind wandering or getting lost in one's thoughts, daydreaming, mental fogginess or confusion, drowsiness, lethargy or tiredness. And the SCT research was initially focused on studies that were looking at the structure of ADHD. And so when we think about ADHD, there's two primary symptom dimensions. So the first is the inattentive symptoms, so the difficulties focusing, being easily distracted, being disorganized, and the hyperactive impulsive symptoms. These are behaviors related to difficulties sitting still, blurting out, having a hard time controlling impulses. Really, the early wave of research on SCT suggested that SCT might represent a pure or restrictive inattentive profile without the features of hyperactivity impulsivity. But research to date has suggested that this is not the case. And in 2016, a meta-analysis was published of studies of over 19,000 participants across childhood, adolescence, and adulthood that found that 13 items or symptoms of SCT were distinct from the inattentive symptoms, which suggested that SCT and ADHD inattention are not overlapping or redundant constructs, and that SCT is in fact separate. And more importantly, research has also shown that SCT is associated with a host of outcomes that impact the daily functioning of children and adolescents. So specifically, we know that SCT is associated with increases in depression, anxiety, peer withdrawal or isolation from peers or shyness, and then also academic difficulties above and beyond the symptoms of ADHD. So there's a unique piece of SCT that contributes to these impairments in children and adolescents. And we kind of think about the relation between SCT and ADHD is somewhat similar to depression and anxiety, where we know depression and anxiety are, they related, they overlap, but they're also distinct. And that's pretty similar to how our thinking is when it comes to SCT and ADHD.
Fantastic. That's really clear. Thank you. Joey, let's turn to your paper, A Multi-Method Examination of Sluggish Cognitive Tempo in Relation to Adolescent Sleep, Daytime Sleepiness, and Circadian Preference, recently published in the JCPP. What did you look at in this study? Can you give us a summary?
Sure. So our paper was really guided by four limitations in the literature on SET. First, most of the studies to date have really focused on trying to establish the internal validity of SET. So just like we talked about with the meta-analysis, studies looking at, are the symptoms of SET, are they distinct from ADHD, or are they overlapping with ADHD? And then the studies looking at the correlates or the outcomes of SET have really focused on domains of depression, anxiety, peer difficulties, and academic difficulties, where far fewer have looked at sleep, which is surprising when we think about the behaviors, or the symptoms that we think compose of SET, such as drowsiness, lethargy, tiredness. We would assume that there might be a link between SET and sleep. In addition, there's only three studies in the SET and sleep kind of literature that have looked at adolescence and how SET is associated with sleep in this period, which is also surprising as we know that adolescence is a developmental period that's often been characterized as the perfect storm when it comes to sleep problems. We know there's natural biological shifts that adolescents undergo and later preference for falling asleep later, going to bed later. And then there's expectations for early waking when it comes to early school start times. So we thought that adolescence was an ideal period to look at SET and sleep. And of the studies that have looked at sleep, they've been fairly limited in terms of looking at daytime sleepiness or sleep duration, where we know that there's a number of other variables in domains of sleep, such as sleep onset latency, so how long it takes an individual to fall asleep, their bedtime, their wake time, then also what is their preference, their what we call their circadian preference. When do they prefer to go to bed, or what's their optimal time for falling asleep and their performance for daytime activities? So those were the three primary limitations. And then finally, also looking at more of a comprehensive test of SET and sleep. So when we think about how do we measure sleep problems, most of the studies within the SET literature and really the broader child and adolescent mental health literature have looked at rating scales. So asking the adolescent or from the parent's perspective, are they having any difficulties falling asleep? We really wanted to look at, though, a comprehensive test of SET and sleep by including other objective methodologies to really capture sleep and circadian preference.
Can you say some more about the methodology that you used in the research?
Yeah. So our study included around 300 adolescents with and without ADHD. And so this was part of a larger longitudinal study that's conducted at in our Center for ADHD and then also at Virginia Commonwealth University that are following adolescents with and then without ADHD across time. And for our methodology, we included symptom ratings of SET through self-report measures, daytime sleepiness. We incorporated adolescents' perspective, parents' perspective on rating scales. Circadian preference was a self-report scale. So these are questions that kind of ask the adolescent, if there were no expectations for getting up in the morning, what would be your preference for falling asleep? When do you feel sleepy? And then we looked at a combination of rating scales, daily diary, and actigraphy data of sleep. And this was really one of the exciting components of this study, I believe, where for 2 weeks, we had adolescents use daily sleep diaries each morning, where they reported on the previous night bedtime, how long it took them to fall asleep, how many hours they got of sleep, what time they woke up, if they had any night wakings, how long they were awake. In addition, we looked at actigraphy data. So adolescents wore these actigraphs, which were able to measure their sleep onset and sleep offset, how long they were in bed for, and then also their sleep efficiency. So we were really able to capture a lot of different elements of sleep using these rating scales, daily sleep diaries, and then also actigraphs in a sample of adolescents without, but also with ADHD. And so, because we know that kids with ADHD have higher rates of sleeping difficulties and daytime sleepiness. So we were also interested in, do these effects differ in a already at-risk population for sleep problems?
Can I check, how did you differentiate between normal adolescent sleep patterns and those with sluggish cognitive tempo? Because as you described earlier, adolescence is the perfect storm, you called it, for sleep issues. And we know late sleep onset is common in teenagers across the board.
Yes. Yeah, that's a fantastic question. And I think first speaks to, like you mentioned, the importance of conducting the study in adolescents that already have a tendency to have later sleep onset and going to bed later. When we think about how do we differentiate kind of this typical sleep onset or sleep with sluggish cognitive tempo, where we do have some studies that show that sleep problems and SCT, kind of we'll talk about in this study that there are effects. And so these domains are associated, but they're also distinct. And so there's been some studies that shown, for example, that daytime sleepiness is distinct from sluggish cognitive tempo, which suggests that yes, maybe sleep is a component of SCT, as we'll talk about here with some of the findings, but we also know there's some other unique dimensions and elements when it comes to SCT. And we're really looking at then, are there particular adolescents that might be kind of further at risk when it comes to having elevations in SCT with these sleep difficulties?
Let's turn more to your findings then. What can you share from the paper?
Our findings were fairly robust and when we think about the different domains where we found effect. So the first thing that I'll note is that in our analyses, we controlled for a number of factors that we know are already associated with sleep problems. And so when I say controlled, that statistically, we're able to kind of remove the influence or the variance of these factors that are associated with sleep. So just for example, we also controlled for adolescent sex, family income, medication status. So we know that since this was a sample of kids who had diagnosed with ADHD that were more likely to be on medication, we know that impacts kind of sleep processes. Mm-hmm. We controlled for medication. Then we also controlled for puberty development as well, based on adolescents reporting on physical characteristics that are associated with puberty development. So we were trying to really tease apart the unique effects of SCT. And we found some fairly robust findings, as I mentioned. We found that SCT was uniquely associated with increases in a later evening preference. So a preference for later sleep onset or evening activities. Also increases in self and parent report of daytime sleepiness. And then we also found a lot of effects using the daily diary and the actigraphy data. So we found that SCT was uniquely associated with a later sleep onset and a later bedtime, shorter sleep duration, longer time to actually fall asleep, which we call sleep onset light latency, and then more night wakings and just general difficulties falling and staying asleep. What we did then was we wanted to show, do these effects remain when we incorporate ADHD symptoms? And so we found that a number of these effects remained significant above and beyond the influence of ADHD symptoms. And these effects did not differ across kids with and without ADHD, which really to us showed that the effects of SCT on these sleep difficulties might be consistent for kids who do have ADHD, but also for kids who do not have ADHD as well.
It's fascinating. Joe, what are the implications of your findings for professionals working with young people and their families?
I think this is a fantastic question. And so as a clinician kind of by training, and that's really where a lot of my interest in, I'm always trying to think about how can we apply these research findings to actually clinical practice and improve kind of the lives of families, like you mentioned. And when we think about, I think first that this study, I think just fits with a larger body of research that shows that SCT is really needed in routine assessment of child and adolescent mental health. So we'll talk about here in a little bit. We have learned that I think SCT is somewhat less familiar, I think just generally in with mental health professionals. And I think it's gaining traction as our research continues to accumulate. Mm-hmm. And I think that for an adolescent that's seen by a pediatrician or by a mental health professional that is exhibiting SCT-like behavior. So they're kind of mind wander, they're daydreaming, they're having a hard time kind of having that energy throughout the day or feeling really lethargic. I think getting a sense of their sleep patterns, and that might cue us in as to some possible difficulties related to falling asleep, staying asleep, their bedtime, because we know that there is some evidence that from some experimental studies that shorter sleep can actually cause increases in SCT behaviors. And there's been some research that evidence-based treatments for sleep can actually improve SCT behaviors. So this really kind of suggests that when we're assessing and providing services to adolescents that exhibit SCT, I think getting a better sense of their sleep patterns is fairly important.
Are adolescents offered interventions if they're diagnosed with SCT currently?
This is a, I'm glad you asked. And one of the things that I'm excited to share is, so recently I accepted a position in the Center for ADHD as a clinical faculty member. And one of our goals is to, over the next 6 to 9 months, offer an SCT specialty service in our Center for ADHD at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. The reason we did this was we've learned over the years in our research, in contact with families, in a qualitative study that we conducted that was published in the Journal of Attention Disorders, where we included children who were elevated in SCT in their families. We've learned that, as I mentioned, SCT is still pretty unfamiliar, and there are currently no evidence-based treatments that are designed to target SCT. And so we learned from families in our conversations that families are often kind of stuck in not knowing where to go or what to do, in addition to some of our standard treatments that we administer and offer for attention problems like ADHD. So currently there are none, but we're really hoping that our specialty service that we're going to offer is just kind of one starting point where we can really start offering some tailored interventions and treatments to these families.
Jeremy, what else is in the paper that you'd like to highlight?
I think one of the main things I'd like to highlight is that if we really kind of take a step back and we think about these different elements of sleep and how these are associated with SCT, and we imagine an adolescent who starts off with this evening preference. So they have a preference for going to bed later. Mm-hmm. They maybe have a later bedtime. They have shorter sleep then throughout the night. They have difficulties waking in the morning. Thinking about the daytime impacts and how some of those impacts then might reflect these SCT behaviors, like feeling very lethargic or tired, getting lost in one's thoughts. And I think that to me really speaks to just the cyclical process and kind of that can unravel here in relation between SCT and sleep. And so it has us thinking, and I think there's future studies that are needed, especially with longitudinal designs, to really tease apart the direction of these associations. Shortened sleep or sleep processes causing SCT, or is there something about SCT that is contributing to sleep difficulties? We can't really answer that question with the design of our study and other studies to date. But I think future research really teasing apart with longitudinal studies, looking at what might be these mechanisms that are linking SCT with these different elements of sleep.
And you personally, are you planning some follow-up research that you can share with us?
Yeah, so some of the exciting things that we have in the works, so with our data set that is a longitudinal study, does offer us the unique ability to test some of these questions we have. And so we're currently working on first understanding the association between SCT and daytime sleepiness over time, which will allow us to, again, answer some of these questions. Does SCT contribute to increases in sleepiness? Is sleepiness related to SCT? And we're also really interested, and particularly I'm interested in why SCT and sleep are associated. And one of the ways we can answer this question is through mediation studies. And so being able to look at SCT symptoms at one time point, looking at sleep problems at another time point, and being able to test the mechanisms of this relationship. And so some ideas we have is that maybe it's possible that adolescents with SCT who have a lot of kind of internal distractibility or internal thought processes where they're daydreaming, maybe they're getting lost in their thoughts. Maybe that's a mechanism where in their bed, if they're kind of getting lost in their own thoughts or they're having these unrelated thoughts, that might contribute to some of these sleep difficulties. Or it's maybe having less kind of this activity levels during the day, or maybe associations with internalizing symptoms that are explaining this relationship. So there's some really exciting studies that can kind of better test some of these questions we have so we can further our understanding of SCT and sleep.
Joey, what else is in the pipeline for you that you'd like to mention?
The main thing that is in the pipeline is the SCT specialty service that I just mentioned, that this is a main task that we're undertaking in partnership with Dr. Stephen Becker, who's a leading expert in the area of SCT and also sleep at the Center for ADHD. We are currently kind of planning some of those steps to start a specialty service. And I think some things that are relevant with this paper is given the number of studies now that have linked SET and sleep and some recent evidence from open trials that cognitive behavioral interventions for sleep can also improve SET behaviors, we're starting to really brainstorm and think about maybe some sleep interventions that we might be able to offer for adolescents with SET. And so again, that's something that we're hoping over the next 6 to 9 months that we can start offering that specialty service to families. But we're really excited about the prospect of this service that we're going to offer at our SNSA Children's.
Brilliant. And Joey, finally, what is your takeaway message for those listening to our conversation?
The main takeaway is that I think we're at a point now in the SET literature that SET continues to demonstrate relevance as a very important construct in child and adolescent mental health. We have a plethora of studies that have shown that SET is a distinct set of symptoms that are separate from ADHD, anxiety, and depression that contribute to really many areas of impairments for adolescents, of like increases in internalizing difficulties, peer problems, academic problems, and now also sleep. We know that poor sleep is a major public health concern, that a number of adolescents do not obtain the recommended hours of sleep, they have irregular bedtimes, given some of the demands and the expectations on early waking in the morning. So I think my take home is that even among kids with or without ADHD, there is clearly appears to be a link or an association between SET and sleep that really, I think, is going to require further intervention, assessment, and then also research.
Joey, thank you so much. For more details on Dr. Joey Frederick, please visit the ACAM website, www.acam.org, and Twitter at ACAM. ACAM is spelled A-C-A-M-H. And don't forget to follow us on your preferred streaming platform. Let us know if you enjoyed the podcast with a rating or review, and do share with friends and colleagues.
This podcast was brought to you by the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, ACAM for short.